I want us today to, at this point, to think very carefully about what you want to thank God for. Now, I'm not asking for, you know, hands to go up or anything like that. What do you think? What do you, this very day, want to thank God for? It's Sunday. So, of course, we want to thank God for his Son. We want to thank him. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the doors of heaven and let us in. So we want to thank him for that salvation. We want to thank him for the blessings that we receive day by day. And what's that lovely chorus? Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Those blessings that we receive day by day, without fail. So many of them that we have a tendency to take many of them for granted. But we receive them from his almighty hand. Our partners, our friends, our church. Those people that we meet as we are going about our daily business, and we are able to perhaps help with a cheery word or a smile. These things that God brings before us. Now, we've just finished James chapter 1 in Bible study, and one of the things that James talks about is being joyous in trial. I might find that difficult. Now, please don't get me wrong. When I'm in a very bad place, I find it very difficult to praise God. I find it very difficult. Well, that's what James tells us that we should be doing. Because if we count those trials joyfully, and we then overcome them, then that produces patience. Patience produces endurance. And that is what God wants from us. Once we are enduring, then we can find that joy once again. So just have a think for a moment. All the things that you have received in this, perhaps this past week, perhaps this past weekend, that you want to truly give thanks for. And we shall be looking at that a little bit more later on. Come to a decision. This thing about surrendering everything to God. No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I've got too much stuff. I can't surrender all of that to Jesus. And all this time it's taking up, it's too much. I'm sorry, but too much time. I can't do it. I'll do your Sunday services, and I'll do your Bible study, and I might do Honey Pot from time to time, but really, the rest of it, what, praying for everybody? No, that's, I'm reading my Bible, That's too much. I'm sorry. Look, I'd rather than have the everything salvation, I'll go for the £5 salvation. Is that all right? Just enough. Just enough to get me through the door of heaven. Just as long as it gets me through the doorway, that'll be all right for me. Yeah. Oh, thank you. When we give our lives to the Lord, when we become members of the church, Jesus says to you, take up your cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, why does he say take up the cross? Why do I wear the cross? Why is there a cross on the wall? Because the cross is the symbol of the surrender that he made in order that we might be saved. We don't worship the cross. That's not what this is about. It's about what the cross stands for. And it stands for that surrender that Jesus made. That risk that Jesus took on our behalf. Have you already used that hint? There was no other good enough to pay the price for sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So without that total surrender, we would be lost. Without that total giving of himself, our being here this morning would be utterly futile. But he didn't. He gave his all. He gave everything for us. What does Jesus say in Matthew, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And when he uses those words, saves his life and loses his life, he's talking about that big word surrender. Too many Christians are like I was at the beginning. I'll do just enough. Yes, I'll visit my mum every so often. Don't ask me to visit strangers. Right? No, that sort of thing. So Jesus says, I want you to risk everything. Well, that might be difficult. Because we do have so much stuff. God gave us people to love and things to use. But this modern day world has turned that around. So it is things to love and people to use. And that is what is wrong with the world today. And the television and newspapers and magazines all are doing the same thing. They are tempting us to get more stuff. Now, ladies, and I'm looking to the wise ones now, how many bottles of perfume can you possibly have on your dressing table at any one time? And if you wore them all together, crikey, the flies would put them. Men, how many cars can we possibly have in one garage at any one time? But again, that's what they. Now, the one that the advert that gets me is the IKEA advert, when he says, these are our settees. We change them every season. Every season? Ours have lasted at least 25 years. But that's the problem. We are tempted to buy more stuff. And the more stuff that we buy, the more that it gets into our heads, and the more our heads cannot find space for God. And that is the big problem today. People's heads are so filled with stuff that God gets pushed further and further to the back until sadly that time comes when he pops out. He's completely forgotten. And the school that John went to, that appears to me to be the case. They put on a play that would appeal, in inverted commas, to young people, it would appeal to young parents, and forgot what the actual message was about. And it is our job as Christians to proudly, unapologetically, to stand up and say, you are going in the wrong direction. If you are chasing after stuff, then you're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. Now, this one always gets me. Whenever people say about, you hear it on the television, and me as a mathematician, it hurts me, because they will say, turn 360 degrees. And you go exactly right. You go around the circle, you're going in the same direction. Turn 180 degrees. And that's what repent means. Repent means turning. Going in the other direction. Going in the godly direction. And that will cause us to surrender stuff. That will cause us to strive for God. Now we have that parable earlier of the three servants, two of whom put what they had been given to good use, and in doing so produced more, and they get the praise from their master for doing so. But those two really are a forerunner to the third. The one who was given the one talent, who went away and buried it. And then when the master comes back, thinks, I'm okay, because I'm giving back what I was given. But when it's compared to the other two who doubled what they had, actually he's giving back less than he was given. And that is the issue today. Every one of us, and I love the fact that in the Bible they're called talents, because the talenta was the largest denomination coin you could receive. So in fact, to be given five talents, or two talents, or one talent, was quite a hefty chunk of money. The other thing that I love is the master gives his servants those amounts in accordance with their ability. All right? They are never stretched beyond their ability. So when we are given a talent to you, be it playing, be it administration, being it looking after money, being using the PA system, we need to be using those talents for the good of the whole community, the whole church. Now, I know Mary is sat there now, and I'm being as gentle as possible. But she sat at the keyboard this morning, trembling, because she's worried about letting you all down. I appreciate what she's done this morning. As far as I'm concerned, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the same is Sue. Exactly the same. No. And you all being here this morning have given up your time to come and listen to this stupid man speaking. But that surrender is what being a Christian is about. We don't want just £5 worth of faith. We want the whole of it. And God wants us to have the whole of it. So instead of just hiding it away, we can use it. We can use it and draw others in. What does Jesus say in the his great commission? His great commission. Here we are. Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That is what we have been commanded to do. Not just to sit on our faith, not just to tuck it away in our back pocket and say, well, I'm all right, John. Well, but to go out, to risk. And though we were talking earlier about open doors, those Christians who are risking everything by coming together. But don't get me wrong, this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. All the way back to Adam and Eve. God says to Adam, Adam, why did you sin? Well, the lady. Eve tempted me. And I did. So he then goes to Eve and says, Eve, why did you? Well, the snake. He tempted me and I did. And if he went to the snake and said, snake, and the first said, what? The apples look so lovely. That's what we do. That's what we do. We try and shift the blame. Lord, I can't serve you today because I'm too tired. I'm too old. I haven't got the young. He's saying, but I surrendered everything to you. I gave up everything to you. I even gave up my kingly throne. You. And you're saved, you haven't got enough time, you don't have enough energy, or it might cause you a little bit of stress. I won't push you beyond your abilities because I know you. I know you so well. I know everything about you. I know where your abilities lie. I know where your talents lie. Because I've seen not only the past, the present, and the future. And so I want you to become the potential that I know you have in you. And when our Lord says, I want you to go somewhere, he's also saying, come with me. Is if you are following in the way he wants you to go, he has already prepared the way before you. And when we stumble, when we fall, it's because we've taken our eyes off the Lord. Remember Peter, when he steps out of the boat. And it's only Peter that does it, not the other disciples. Only Peter steps out of the boat and he's walking on the water, looking into the eyes of his Lord. And then suddenly his human brain, rather than his spiritual brain, kicks in. You are walking on water.
What? No!
I always get that picture of a cartoon, you know, when the little legs go. And down he goes. Lord, save me! And the Lord. There's that wonderful, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange in you, the light of his glory and glory. It's wonderful, wonderful. And I hope and pray that throughout this year, we will become more and more sacrificial church. A church that is not afraid to try new things. A church that is not afraid to walk in different paths if the Lord has marked those paths out for us. Try new things. There are certain words that are at the death knell to any church that wants to grow. One set is, well, that will never work. The second set is, well, we've never done it that way before. And you have heard them in churches up and down the land. Well, that's the wonderful thing about the Baptist church, about the Baptist denomination. Everyone's opinion is equal. Everyone's opinion carries weight. And that is why when we have church meetings, when the deacons come together, we always start with prayer. Always. Ensuring that the Holy Spirit is present. Ensuring that minds can, to a certain degree, tap in what the Holy Spirit has to say. My friends, I wish you well this week. I truly do. I'm going to be in the vestry from time to time this week. Yes, Kerry, I will be having lunch tomorrow at the Tanny Cross. Or we had fish and chips last week. It's great to be with people and to talk with people. Yes, they are of mature years, but talk to them about faith. I was talking with a lady last week, I don't know her name, Roman Catholic lady, and had a wonderful discussion. Wonderful discussion about, you know, faith things. It was absolutely great. So if you get those opportunities this coming week, please use them. I look forward to seeing you all at the meal on Wednesday. We should have a good time together. Lunch is at 12 o'clock. So please arrive about 11:30. It just allows Dave to have his lunch and then have his post-meal snooze before he goes to work. But let's enjoy a time of fellowship together, a time of chatting and getting to know one another that much better. I mean, I've only been here now 2 months. Feels like I've been here years. The other thing I want just to say to you, we've got through January, right? We've got through January, we're now into February, all right? So now is the time to get your sprouts on so that they're ready for next Christmas. God bless you all, and please, I'm talking as much to myself as I am to you. We need to have that mindset of being open to what the Lord would have us do. We need to have that mindset which doesn't put up barriers, but says, yes, Lord, wherever you send, I will go. Whatever you ask of me, I will give. Because he will never, never put you outside of your abilities. Amen.